Well, good morning, everyone. It's
great to see you. Welcome. And particularly, want to welcome you if you're visiting with us today. It's a good day to be here. It's a great day to be here. I'm conscious as we pray for the fathers, for us, for all of us men to become fathers to others, in the sort of whether it's because we have our own children or whether it's because we have because we want to actually be spiritual fathers over others. I'm conscious of the fact that many of us have not had good experiences. Many of us have not had good fathers. In fact, when we hear that phrase, actually we react to it, we want to kind of fling it off and sort of say we don't want to have anything to do with it. We don't want to have anything to do with God if He is a God, a father like the father that we had. And I just want to sort of say today that is not who God is. That the Father in heaven is kind and compassionate, loving and gentle, quick to embrace, slow to anger, willing to take hold of us and actually to draw us closer to Himself. And He knows what is best for us and is actually willing to do that. And I want to pray for us, the guys in particular who have struggled with this because of a struggle with our connection with our own human father. That actually today you would have a revelation of who Father God is for you today, so that you would be able to have that same spirit of adoption, the spirit that comes upon you that actually kind of takes hold of you. And what happens is He gives you the spirit, and what it does inside you is it actually allows you to have a relationship with God. It allows you to have a relationship with the Father. And what happens is you're able then to cry out, Abba, Father, like Daddy. You know, you're able to actually connect with God on an intimate level. And so I want to pray for you just now about that. So, Father, I thank You that You are a good Father. I thank You that You are a good, good, good Father. I know that You know the best things for us. And, Lord God, I just want to come today, and I want to pray particularly for those of us, and not just the men and the women, for all of us who have struggled with our fathers. For all of us who have found the connection with them to be hard because of who they are and what they've done and how they've treated us and what they've said. And Lord, even with the best of fathers, you know, we recognize that they're human and they're frail and they make mistakes. And so, Lord God, we want to first of all choose today to forgive our fathers for all that they have done that would stop us being able to connect with You, Heavenly Father. So, Lord God, today we choose to say that we forgive our fathers, our earthly fathers. We forgive them for their frailty, for their brokenness, for their for all that they have done. Lord, we know that some of them don't deserve our forgiveness. But forgiveness is not about them. It's not about them. It's about us. Forgiveness sets us free. Because we're no longer bound by the anger and the difficulty and the rejection and all the things that come. And so, Lord God, we choose today to forgive them, to let them off, to let them be, just to be forgiven and release them back into Your care, Lord God. And for those that are still alive, we want to pray for them today that they would come to a knowledge of You. They would come to a place where they know You and can receive You. And Lord, as we release them, forgive them, Lord God, we ask that You would place Your Holy Spirit within us. We ask, Lord God, for that spirit of adoption to fall upon us afresh. That today that spirit would come upon us and it would help us once again, or perhaps for the first time, to connect with You, Lord. To find that You are our good Father. That You are the one who knew us from the very beginning. You are the one who runs to us, like the father in the story of the lost son who kept an eye out for his boy and saw him on the horizon and who ran towards him. And Lord God, You run towards us, even when we do not deserve it, even when we've rejected You, even when we've turned away from You, You run towards us. And so, Lord God, we ask that You'd help us to receive Your loving embrace today, that the Father's love would just fill us again. And Lord, we take a moment just to receive Your loving embrace. We receive Your love to ourselves, Lord God. We receive Your transforming love. Because Lord, when we know that we are Your children, when we know that we are loved, everything changes. Because suddenly we know who we are. We are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. We know who we are. We know our identity. At last, finally, we discover who we really are meant to be. And so, Lord God, we pray that today you would give that, that you would release that in greater measure. I pray for those who have been Christians for a long time today as well. I pray for those of us who perhaps have allowed that experience of the Father's love to grow cold. It's become a distant thing. It's become a thing that we know, but it's not a thing that we experience. Lord, today, in your mercy, would you come? Would you touch us again today? Would you embrace us again today? And in that embrace, Lord, would you release your love in such a way that we would be transformed forever? Set our hearts on fire, Lord Jesus. Set our hearts on fire, because we know that your love changes everything. And so, Lord God, as we recognize that, as we experience that for ourselves, we also want to pray, Lord, that you would allow us to be those who are able to pass on that love to others. So, Lord God, would you do this, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, then we're going to read together from Acts chapter 16. So we're going to do that just in a moment. Today we're going to be thinking about how, as part of the House of Prayer and Worship, we've been talking about the fact that actually we are the House of Prayer and Worship. It's not a building, it's not a place. It's us. It's us gathering together and giving our hearts for this thing of connecting with God, of creating a space where God can come and dwell amongst us and inhabit our lives. And so as we think about that today, we're thinking that praise is powerful. I was thinking about praise being powerful today. Remember when some of us went to out to Rikese to join with Global Salvation Ministries? Remember that? We went in November. And you might kind of stuff. Anyway, I sat in the front row, was like here, and she belted it out, and I have to say that I did this, and then realized that the speaker was here, but the video camera was here, pointing at me, so immediately my oh yeah turned into a very spiritual oh yeah, 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 yeah. And the worst thing about it was that, like, she did it once, and I thought, oh my goodness, and I can't really, okay, it's okay, I've made it okay, and then she did it again, and I didn't mean it, but I did the same thing again, and oh God, panda. So I'm like, anyway, I'm not talking about that kind of praise being powerful today. No, what I'm talking about is that actually, when we praise, God moves in powerful ways, and so as we think about this, we want to kind of just get into this by reading from, as I say, from Acts chapter 16. So again, if you've got your Bibles, we're reading the story of Paul and Silas in the prison in Philippi, and they've been imprisoned for preaching the gospel. Just isn't it interesting how these different things that we're thinking about today come together? But at midnight, Paul and Silas was praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed, and the keeper of the prison awakened, from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposed that the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for lights, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all of them in that house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And now when he had been brought them through into his house, he set foot before them and he rejoiced, being that he had believed in the Lord, him and his household. What was meant to be a breakout turned out to actually be a moment of breakthrough, a breakthrough for the kingdom of God, a breakthrough in terms of what was happening in the jailer's household. So as we think today about the whole thing of praise being powerful, I want to talk about three things. I want to talk about the fact that, you know, praise helps us in terms of spiritual breakthrough, and this is obviously the one that we're thinking about just now, but praise also helps us in terms of spiritual warfare. Interesting, we talked about that already. And then praise helps us to set a spiritual atmosphere. And so, again, I'm going to think about these different things. The first one is this, that praise helps us in terms of, praise is powerful in terms of spiritual breakthrough. Many of us want to kind of see breakthroughs in our life, don't we? We want to see things happening. We want to see things changing. We've got people who are sick in our lives. We've got people who are struggling in our lives. We've got circumstances ourselves where we need breakthrough, where we need change, where we need God to do something. And actually, what we find here is that we have a tool which is very simple for us to use, which is that we would be able to worship and praise. What a weird response to being locked up. What a bizarre way of actually dealing with the situation that they found themselves in. You know, because I don't know whether or not that's what you'd have done if you get locked up. And, oh, I think I've got my hymn book here. I think I'll sing number 42. You know, how strange was that, that was the response? It's not an obvious thing to do. And yet, Paul and Silas knew that actually that the worship of God was a spiritual war, it was a spiritual weapon that created that breakthrough in the Spirit. What we see is that as we see breakthrough in the Spirit, as we see that weapon of praise being used, that it changed the circumstances, not just simply in terms of their hearts and minds, but in terms of the actual practical situation that they were in. There was an earthquake. God responded to their worship. What happens when we praise is that we basically encourage God to come and to invade our situations. That's what we're doing. We're inviting God to come and to bring his presence into our situations. And as he did that, his presence created that physical change. There was an earthquake in the building. The chains fell off. The doors broke open and they began to kind of, they realized that they were actually going to be free. So much of a shock for the jailer that he actually thought, oh my goodness, everything is a disaster. They've all escaped. And he himself would have been accountable for their death, for their lives rather, as they escaped and would have killed, and he was going to kill himself because of it. And Paul said, no, we're all still here. We're all still here. And they called him out and they came for the light. And as a result of that, they actually saw the change coming about. There are lots and lots of different examples of that happening in Scripture. We see it again in, I suppose, the most obvious other example of it in the Old Testament would be the story of Joshua. So Joshua sends the praise band out in front of the army. I love that. I think we should do more of that, actually. We should definitely, when we're going out to have a fight with people, we should send the band out first. Because I think that's just fair, you know, because they've got, like, guitars. but it wasn't guitars that they had at that point. It was trumpets, and we know that story, don't we? We know the story of how they kind of, like, they were going to go and take the land. They were going to go, and this enormous city with this huge wall, which was completely impregnable, they began to realize, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to follow this crazy strategy from God. Go and send the band round the place. March round 7 times. Da 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 da. And then the walls will fall down, and you're kind of looking at it going, nah, that's not going to work. You know, most of us would think that. And yet, what happened? They did exactly that. They praised and they invited the presence of God. And in the presence of God invading the situation, it broke the pattern. It broke and it caused the walls to fall down. They talk about the kind of the possibility that it would be an earthquake of some sort. Whatever it was, it caused the walls to fall down and they were able to get in and to break into Jericho and to see again the transformation of that city as a result of them actually being able to be obedient to setting their hearts towards God in praise. It is a peculiar thing. It's a peculiar way of doing things, isn't it? Because actually, the world teaches us, you know, if someone comes at us, you know, we're going to come back at them with aggression. We're going to come back with them, you know, and do that. But actually, what the scriptures teach us is the other way, the other alternative way. What it says is, you know, when people come at us like that, actually, you know, we have other weapons. Because actually what we want to do is we're not actually concerned about this one in front of us. You know, we're not in one sense concerned about them. We're concerned about inviting the presence of God. Because God is the one that wars on our behalf. God is the one that actually kind of does these things. And so as we worship, as we praise, what we're doing again, we're inviting him to come and to be present in our life. I remember when we were wanting to sort of see breakthrough in terms of what was happening in Glasgow. I don't know if a few of us will remember this. Do you remember March for Jesus? Some of us were involved for March for Jesus. So March for Jesus was exactly what this was about. You know, this is basically the body of Christ in Glasgow, you know, marching about the place. I mean, we have lots and lots of marches in Glasgow, let's be honest, and not all of them are great. And we wanted to cut across that in a different spirit and actually sort of say, no, we want to invite the presence of God here. We want to praise and we want to proclaim that God is good and that he has actually got a good plan for our city. We want to invite his presence here because we know that when we do that, he's going to release his blessing upon our city. And so was it 2 or 3 years? I can't remember, but a few years anyway in Glasgow, we kind of like got ourselves all organized and got our banners and all the rest of it, and we marched for Jesus. And we saw significant breakthrough. We saw new churches planted. We saw people coming together in unity. It must have been pretty close to the time that Prayer for the City must have been around at that time. Was it kind of close to that or after that? It'd be before that. You know, there's all sorts of things that happen, and we're looking for breakthrough. We're looking for God to break through in our city. We're looking for God to break through in our lives. And so the first and simplest thing that we want to sort of say today is this. If you want to take ground, if you want to see breakthrough, then actually the first key is this, that you can praise and worship him. And that's actually one of the ways that God will actually, you know, that because that invites the presence of God into the situation and brings transformation for us. But we also want to sort of see, we also recognize that actually God calls us to engage in spiritual warfare. So there's sometimes when actually we are on the offensive, we're moving forward, but there's sometimes when actually we are on the defensive, we are actually being attacked. And again, one of the things that we learn here is this, that in actual fact, it is about, the focus of what we do is not about the enemy. When we get attacked, it's not about the enemy. It is about the Lord. We do not focus on the darkness. We focus on the light. And that's one of the most significant and simple things that you will ever learn in terms of your walk with God, that actually you can get so distracted by all sorts of different things. I don't really need to give any more example than the example that we've just heard from Mozambique, but I remember on a much lesser scale, I remember many years ago doing a holiday club in Lossiemouth, and we were there for 2 weeks. I remember the first week, we had tons of kids coming, like there were 250 kids or something. It was crazy. It was really, really busy. But we felt oppressed. We felt as though we were being pushed back. We felt as though lots and lots of things were really kind of being, that the atmosphere around the place was really negative and really, really difficult for us to do things. And we were getting people coming and criticizing us. And there was difficulties within the team and all sorts of things. And then we had actual physical kind of opposition when somebody, when we actually kind of had people kind of, we were living in a church hall at that point, and people started chucking stones and breaking the windows, and then they would actually kind of they would key our cars, and do all sorts, everything that they could possibly do. We got all sorts of opposition. And then there was discouragement as well, because we had somebody who'd, one of our team members, I remember, broke a leg. Then we couldn't get our PA to work. And then, you know, and then on the day that we were going to do a barbecue, the police absolutely tipped it down with rain. And, you know, everything that could go wrong and everything that, you know, it was one of those moments where you just felt everything is against us, nothing is for us. And actually, you know, and we remember coming to the Saturday night, which was the kind of middle Saturday of the 2 weeks we were there. And we were staying in the halls, and we kind of got to the stage where we were kind of like, right, we're done, we're going to bed. That's us switching the lights off, and then the windows get panned in again, you know. So we get another dose of this thing, and so we were all out. I mean, and I have to say at this point, we were sick of this, and we were like. And the boys were kind of like, right, we're just going to go and sort them, right? That's what we're going to do. Come on, get the base. We actually had baseball bats because we were playing kind of rounders and stuff like that. Not for any other reason. But anyway, let's get the baseball bats and let's go. You know, sort of like, I mean, seriously, that's what we're thinking. Lovely missionaries, eh? You know, sort of like that. So off we went out the door. And as we were kind of heading towards the door and the guys were picking up the baseball bats, I'm going, whoa, hang on a second. Wrong strategy. You are focusing on the enemy. You are focusing on the darkness. And I said, no, stop. And so we diverted them into the church building. There's a great big, you know, we were staying in this amazing church hall with a church building attached to it. And so I said, come on, in here, we're going to worship and praise. Switched all the lights on. Place was flooded with light. It was amazing. And then we began to worship, and we began to worship, and we began to worship, and we praised and worshiped and praised and worshiped and prayed. And then there was a moment where we realized there was a breakthrough. And that was the point at which we just said, thank you, Lord, and went to bed. And the next week, we saw more people come to faith at that mission than we'd seen in. I'd done that mission for about 6 years, and we saw over 50 people come to faith in 1 week, which was absolutely unheard of in that situation. And so, you know, again, it's one of these things that, you know, that actually when the enemy pushes in, you know, have you ever experienced that? Have you ever got to that place where you just feel, oh, flip, you know, everything is going against us, nothing is going for us, and the enemy is pushing in and pushing in, then the response is to do exactly what you heard in terms of Pemba. Worship and praise and prayer. Worship and praise and prayer. That's what we do. That's what we do to push the enemy back. Because what it does is this. The Lord inhabits the praises of these people. He comes and he dwells amongst us in a way. And so what happens is, it is a strange thing. But you kind of think, how do we change the circumstances over here? Well, the answer is, we come and we worship. And what happens? The Lord sorts the stuff out. We don't have to touch it. We don't have to do anything about it. Nothing needs to happen. Nothing needs to change. We just focus on him, and he deals with it. And again, that's been my experience over the years. And that's what you heard today. That's what we're talking about. And we need to learn how to do this, because actually we will be in all sorts of spiritual battles. We are in a spiritual battle. Let nobody be confused about that. We are fighting for the salvation of those about us and the people that we know in the community that we live in and the city that we're part of. We are and already engaged in that. And so for us, what we need to do is we need to learn how to do this. We need to, at the point where things are most intense, swerve into that place of praise and worship. So it's about spiritual breakthrough, it's about spiritual warfare, but it's also about setting the spiritual environment, okay? Throughout Scotland, there are places where people have worshipped and prayed for centuries. And the Celtic saints, the kind of those who have gone before us, would describe them, and they would call them thin places. Anyone been to a thin place? One or two of us? A few of us have been to thin places. Places where It's like kind of, you know, so Jacob and his ladder up to heaven, you know, that place of Bethel, that place of the house of God, where heaven touched earth. That happens again and again. And do you know how you create those places? Praise and worship and prayer. Praise and worship and prayer. for years and years and years and years and years and years. And what happens is that when people go into places like, you know, they go to like Lindisfarne and Iona, they go to, well, places like Stornoway and other places like that, where the Lord has absolutely moved sky. Come on, sky. You know, where the Lord has moved in power, what happens is that actually, when you go somewhere and you just feel the presence of God, where you sense that He's there, where it's easy for you to pray, where it's easy for you to connect, where it's easy for you to listen and to hear what He's going to say, those are thin places. Those are places actually that God is present, and where it's almost like through the investment of the saints over the years, generations of worship and worship and worship and worship, you know, what happens is actually it's almost that they call heaven down, and so the connection is so much easier. And worship and praise is part of that. And what we want to do, listen, this is the important part, what we want to do as we worship and we praise today is we want to call heaven down to earth. We want this place to be a thin place. We want this city to be known as a thin place. You know, where do you go to hear from God? Glasgow. We want people to say that. We want that to be our testimony. We want them to be able to say, and where in Glasgow? Oh, you should definitely go to Whiteinch. You should definitely go to Whiteinch. Because actually, that's the place that you're going to meet with God. That's the place that you're going to connect with Him. Why is that? And they'll probably say, I don't really know. I just know that when I go, that's what we connect with God. But we know. So how do we establish that? We establish it through worship and praise. We worship and praise, and we call down the presence of God. You know the song, Jesus, We Enthrone You? It says this, Jesus, We Enthrone You, we proclaim You are King. Standing here in the midst of us, we raise You up with our praise. And as we worship, build Your throne. As we worship, build Your throne. As we worship, build Your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take Your place. Praise is powerful. Praise is powerful. It helps us to see breakthroughs. And for some of us just now, as we worship, the band's going to come up just now. We're going to worship just now. And it might be for you today that actually you need a breakthrough. You need a breakthrough in your life. You need something just, God, I just need this to change. I need this to move. And so that for you, as you worship, just, you don't focus on that. You bring it to Him, maybe say, Lord, I need this changed. But then don't focus on that. Let it go. Lay it down before Him. It's like you're putting it on the altar, and then you're just focusing on Him and worshiping Him. And ask that as you worship, He would do what actually He alone can do. We're looking for breakthrough. But we're also aware of the fact, I mean, we're talking today about spiritual warfare that's going on in Pemba and so many more places. And it may well, and as we worship, you know, what we do in worship and praise just now will impact what's happening in Pemba and in South Africa as the harvest school lands there, will impact on all sorts of other things that we're doing. And we want to do that as well. But also, we want to change the spiritual atmosphere. We want this place to become a thin place. And so as we worship, as we praise, we're calling heaven down. We're calling heaven down and we're asking, Lord, would You make this place a thin place? Lord, that's what I'm asking. Lord, would You make this place a thin place? Would You make this place a place where heaven touches earth? Would You make this place a place where people walk in and they know that the Lord is in the house, that they can connect with You, that the resources of heaven are available for them, that You can speak to them, that You can give them direction, that everything that is required would be here, that healing is required, that miracles are required, whatever it is that's required, that Lord God, that here in this place they would know that that is true, and they would know that that is true because we have called heaven onto earth, and we have asked that, Lord, You would not just simply come and visit us, but that You would come and dwell with us. Lord, we're asking that You would open up the portals of heaven, the very entry into Your presence, so that we would know You in this place and we would be able to encounter You in this place. And so, Lord God, we come here today to worship You and to praise You. We come today to proclaim that Jesus, You are King, and we honor You, our Lord and our God. There is no other. You are the one who is above all others. There is no other God but You. And so, Lord God, we proclaim You and worship You. And I ask, Lord God, that in this place, as we worshiped, you would come to bring breakthrough. You would come to push the enemy back. You would come to set a new spiritual atmosphere in this place. That, Lord God, this place would become a thin place in the kingdom of God. For we ask it now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to worship.